Well, Father, I truly do thank you and I praise you for all these people came out to sit at your table and to be fed fresh manna from heaven. I thank you, Father God, for the healing power that's here. I thank you, Father God, for the cleansing. I thank you for your glory, Father. I thank you for your Son, Jesus, your Holy Spirit, your angelic host. We thank you for all of heaven, Father God, because without you in heaven, we wouldn't be. And Father, every need that's here this morning, I'm asking you to meet it. I'm just asking you, Father God, that you just come down amongst us this morning and do a different works within us. And Father, I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. How many of you don't want to do the same old anymore? You want something different done. You want something that you can, you know, just chew on meat, you know, instead of sucking on a bottle all the time. Something you can take to the world and share them all about Jesus. You know, Elaine was talking about the different miracles that God wants to use us for. Sometimes I believe we have to live and experience some things in life so that they become real to us and so that we know that God, we really know that God's word is true. And I don't mean, you know, you who really love the Lord and are engrossed in him, but I mean the world. You know, sometimes the world needs a sign and a wonder. And sometimes God said our testimonies overcome, right? And we take our testimony to the street. The people are going to start listening if you have a testimony. You know, I hope each and every one of you have a testimony, you know, a wild testimony. Not just say, well, I was born one day and I've just been sliding by all my life. And, you know, if you never had any valleys that you came up out of, you don't really have a testimony. You know, there weren't any ditches you fell into. You really don't have a testimony because it's these ditches and these valleys and that's where our testimonies come from. Amen. And Sister Elaine said it, you know, God allowed me to experience raising the dead. And now the dead lived, they lived, but they wanted to go back. They did not want to stay here. So God honored them and they went back to be with the Father. But I was thinking, sitting there, that I have died four times in my life. Three times I drowned and one time I died on the operating table and was having heart surgery. And I was sitting there thinking, God, you know, maybe that's why I have so much faith in raising the dead. Because you raised me from dead four times. And you know, and I want to share this. All four times there was always a man that I encountered before I died. The three times I drowned, a man always appeared on the beach and where we was at swimming. And he just appeared out of nowhere. And everybody told me that whenever the man jumped in the water each time and pulled me out and brought me back to life. And then he disappeared. I would say that was an angel, right? And then when I had my heart surgery, when they came to get me out of the room to take me down to the heart surgery, the young lady came to get me and this man appeared. He said, I'm going to take her to surgery. She said, no, you're not. They argued. He said, I'm going to take her because I've been assigned to her. And so the whole way to the heart, to the operating room, he sang hymns to me. And then whenever I got there, he put me against the wall like they do. And then he says, you shall live and not die. And then he walked. I never saw him after that. And that nurse said, "I don't know where he came from, but I did die on the operating table. But they, you know, resurrected me." So you see, that's really testimonies I forget about. But you know, if you would be on the street and you tell somebody that, that might just pique some interest in them, and they might want what you have. They might want to serve the God that brought you back to life. And what Sister Lane was saying about the people putting the teddy bears, you know, the person that overdosed is free from their bondage. And the other people that put the teddy bears are in bondage. And I say, I was praying for these people. I always do. God, don't let them die. Bring them to life while they're still, you know, in living. And let them be a testimony that God is good all the time. And I'm anxious to hear from the street ministries whenever you say, there were six people there and they all got delivered from drugs instantly. They were sobered up instantly because that's what happened to Jesse Duplantis, wasn't it? He went into the bathroom, and God hit him, and he sobered up instantly, and he went on to minister to the Father. So if, I always say, God, if you can do it to Jesse Duplantis, you can do it to anybody, right? Come on, you guys. We're in a miracle weekend, and God wants to really and truly stress upon you to quit looking for what's going on in your life, but start looking to what God can do with your life to perform these miracles to set other people free. You're already free, supposedly. So now what we have to do is go out and free the world. This morning, God wants to talk about living water. I want to read Exodus 33, verse 1. It's about Moses. I'm going to read that first because God talks about this. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the back of the desert and came to Oreb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of a bush. So he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. Then Moses said, I will not turn aside and see this great sight. I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush does not burn. So when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here I am. Then he said, Do not draw near this place. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt. And you know, as I was typing this, God said, I have surely seen the oppression of my people in the world today. All right. So God said, and the Lord said, I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. So I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up from the land to a good large land and to a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of all the ites, all right? Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come to me. Don't you think the street people pray? Do you know the street people pray to God? The ones that I have encountered say they do pray to God, but God isn't answering. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come to me, and I have also seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppress them. Come now, therefore, and I will send you to Pharaoh that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And this is what God is asking you to do this morning. He's saying, come to him so he can send you to equip you and send you forth to minister to a lost and dying world. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? So he said, I will certainly be with you. And this shall be a sign to you that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain. God is always going to be with you if he sends you. Now this is what God said. I am calling all of my children from the backside of the desert and bringing you forth and commissioning you to go forth and spread my gospel to the poor and the down and outer, just as I did Moses. I am no longer going to speak to you in the shadows. Now I want you to listen to this very carefully. I am no longer going to speak to you in the shadows, but I am bringing you right to the front lines where we can speak face to face and you can hear very audibly what I am saying to you. You need to understand that it's exactly what God is doing right now. He speaks audibly to me some days all day long about different issues that's going on around about me in the church or in my home or whatever. God is speaking audibly. Are you listening? If you're not listening, you're not going to hear. But if you're listening for God's voice, you are going to hear him speak to you. God said, there will no longer be questions as to what I have said or am saying, for you will hear my commissions with complete clarity. There will no longer be questions as to what I have said or am saying, for you will hear my commissions with complete clarity. There are so few workers, but I have been working with you, and I have been training and commissioning you for quite some time now, and now you are prepared to go forth and complete the works I have started. You will have one divine destination after another. and my angelic host will go with you, and they will accomplish all that they have been instructed to accomplish. You see, I never sent my ministers out ill-equipped. You already have all of heaven at your disposal, and all you have to do is draw on heaven's supply. Children, I am the well of living waters, and in me and through me all things are possible. Let's look at my word for a moment and see what it tells you. In James chapter 7, verse 37 says, the last day of the festival came. It was the most important day. And on that day, Jesus stood up and said loudly, whoever is thirsty may come to me and drink. If anyone believes in me, rivers of living water will flow out from their heart. That is what the scriptures say. Jesus, verse 39 says, Jesus was talking about the Spirit. The Spirit had not yet been given to people because Jesus had not yet been raised to glory, but later those who believed in Jesus would receive the Spirit. And God said, all who believe in my Son Jesus shall surely receive the Holy Spirit, and they shall go forth with great signs, wonders, and miracles flowing out from them, just as my Son Jesus did. All who believe in my Son Jesus, you have to believe in Jesus, shall surely receive the Holy Spirit, and they shall go forth with great signs, wonders, and miracles flowing out from them, just as my Son Jesus did. And Isaiah 12:3 says, with joy you will draw water from the springs of salvation. Jesus is our salvation, right? And Isaiah 58:11 says, the Lord will always lead you and satisfy your needs in dry lands. He will give strength to your bones. You will be like a garden that has plenty of water, like a spring that never goes dry. Then John 4:14 says, but anyone who, this is Jesus speaking, but anyone who drinks the water I give will never be thirsty again. The water I give people will be like a spring flowing from inside of them. It will bring them eternal life. Let's read that again. But anyone who drinks the water I give will never be thirsty again, period. The water I give people will be like a spring flowing inside them. It will bring them eternal life. I want you to listen to what the words are saying because I'm going to speak about that in a minute. God said, you must be fully equipped to go forth. Salvation is a first step. That's receiving Jesus. And then as you receive salvation, the Holy Spirit dwells richly inside. My Holy Spirit will lead, guide, and direct you in all things. And I really believe at this point what we should do whenever somebody we lead somebody to salvation, we should right away tell them now to receive the Holy Spirit. And see, I don't know about you, but nobody ever did that to me when I received salvation. Because we just read where Jesus is a bread of life and the Holy Spirit is a living water. And that's the reason why some people can't function the way they should in God is because they got saved but never received the Holy Spirit. All right? Then God said, my Son Jesus told you I would not leave you comfortless, and I did not. I sent you my Holy Spirit. And John 14:16 says, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever. The helper is a spirit of truth. The people of the world cannot accept him because they don't see him or know him, but you know him. He lives with you, and he will be in you. So the Holy Spirit is what? The spirit of truth. This is why God said we have to take the truth to the world. In John 14:26 says, Jesus said, but the helper will teach you everything and cause you to remember all that I told you. This helper is the Holy Spirit that the Father will send in my name. And see, a lot of people go away to Bible school, and I wanted to too, but God said, no, I want my Holy Spirit to teach you. Only my Holy Spirit. So that each one of you need to quit wanting to go away to Bible school and get man's doctrines placed in you, and you need just to ask the Holy Spirit to teach you, to lead you, guide you, and direct you. And he will. He will. God said, you not only have my Son Jesus, which is salvation, but you have my Holy Spirit, which is the spirit of truth, and you have all the angelic host of heaven at your disposal, which are the angels that have different names that God sends out to minister throughout the land. And God says, couple all of this with your love and faith, and you become a powerhouse that no enemy of darkness can stop. Let's read that again. God said, you not only have my son Jesus, which is salvation, but you have my Holy Spirit, which is the spirit of truth, and you have all the angelic hosts of heaven at your disposal, which is all the angels. Then he said, couple all of this with your love and faith, and you become a powerhouse that no enemy of darkness can stop. Isn't that amazing? Did you read the prophetic word for the day, the word of the day? God talked about love. Amen. You will go forth, God said, you will go forth and you will bring heaven to earth, and you will do the greater works than my son. You will minister to the multitudes at one time, and you will see the greatest harvest of souls ever seen at one time. God said, children, this is another miracle. The million soul harvest that is already on the horizon, just waiting for you to be totally determined. You to be totally determined that you are mine and the enemy has absolutely no place within or around you. See, what he's saying here, you have to quit giving in to the wiles of the enemy. You have to quit allowing him to make you walk back into sin. And he said, children, this is another miracle, the million soul harvest that is already on the horizon, just waiting for you to be totally determined that you are mine and the enemy has absolutely no place within or around you. God said, winning the lost is a miracle, and that is what I am sending you forth to accomplish. I do not want you to be so caught up in miracles that you miss the miracles as they are occurring. God said, miracles will come in small, medium, and large packages, so do not overlook the smallest miracle, for they are all important in my eyes. God said, forever faithful you must remain. You cannot place your hand to the plow and look back. You must continue on the path I have placed before your feet, no matter what you may encounter. And Luke 9:62 says, Jesus said, anyone who begins to plow a field but looks back is not prepared for God's kingdom. I like the way that worded, is not prepared. And some Bibles say fit, but whenever I read not prepared, I thought, well, God still has works to do within those people before he can send them forth to do the mighty works. God said, right now, the harvest is busting forth. I have said it before, and it bears repeating. I have already prepared the hearts for the salvation message, and when you take it to them, they will immediately receive me as their Lord and Savior. If this were not so, I would not have spoken it. In John 14:11, Jesus says, believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or believe because of the miracles I have done. So you see, if you go forth as a miracle carrier, and they might not believe in this Jesus, but when they start seeing the miracles, what did Jesus say here? Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or believe because of the miracles I have done. God said, when you are witnessing to the crowds, believe me for signs, wonders, and miracles, and then the lost and dying will believe and receive. So every time you go forth, you have to be believing that God is going to perform some sort of sign, wonder, or miracle, and then the people will start believing. God said, you were at one time one of the lost and dying. I sent someone to you to witness to you of my saving grace, and you received. Or you wouldn't be sitting here, right? Now go ye forth into the harvest field and freely give what you freely received. God said, always remember that I am the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end, and the great I am is with you to the end, just as I was with my son, Jesus. God said, never forsake the assembling of yourselves together. Never for one instant believe you can go this alone. In my word, they were sent out two by two, and they accomplished what I sent them to accomplish. You must do the very same thing. Go forth and win the lost. This is why God is calling husbands and wives to be totally committed to one another, to love one another, because he's going to be sending you out two by two. And what better thing I don't know about you, but I love to see a married couple standing up behind a pulpit, you know, sharing their love with one another, because it just does something to me to see that. And it just makes me want God even more. All right, Mark 6, verse 7 says, Jesus called his 12 disciples together. He sent them out in groups of two and gave them power over evil spirits. How did he send them out? Groups of two. There's a religion. They send their people out by twos to witness. This is what he told me. Take nothing for your trip except a stick for walking. Take no bread, no bag, and no money. You can wear sandals, but don't take extra clothes. When you enter a house, stay there until you leave that town. If any town refuses to accept you or refuses to listen to you, then leave that town and shake the dust off your feet as a warning to them. The apostles left and went to other places. They talked to the people and told them to change their hearts and lives. How did they go? Two by two. What were they doing? Witnessing for Christ. And verse 13 says, they forced many demons out of people and put olive oil on many who were sick and healed them. So as they were going two by two, they were doing deliverances and healing. So what are you supposed to be doing? Doing deliverances and healing. And Luke 10, verse 1 through 3 says, after this, the Lord chose 72 more followers. He sent them out in groups of two. He sent them ahead of him into every town and place where he planned to go. See, he sent them ahead, and they were preparing the way for Jesus to come. So what are you, your forerunners, preparing the way for the second coming of Jesus Christ? And God has to do this harvest before the second coming of Jesus. And because God is on a timetable, he has everything planned out, we have to bring in this harvest now so that God stays on his timetable, and he's not going to get off his timetable. All right, verse 2 said, Jesus said to them, there is such a big harvest of people to bring in, but there are only a few workers to help harvest them. God owns the harvest. Ask him to send more workers to help bring in his harvest. You can go now, but listen, I am sending you, and you will be like sheep among wolves. So how are you going to be? Like sheep among the wolves. Jesus said, if you go into a town and the people welcome you, eat the food they give you, heal the sick people who live there, and tell them God's kingdom is now very near you. So there's how we're supposed to go. That's how we're supposed to do it. And you know, when you think you don't want nobody else to interfere, you want to be the only one that has a street ministry. I'm just using street ministry, a street ministry. And you don't want to take nobody with you, because after all, it's your street ministry. That's not biblical, is it? God sent them out two by two. All right. Now God said, as you go, be determined to heal the sick. See that? Be determined that I don't care. You know, you just go and you say, God, I want every sick person I come in contact with, I want them healed. You know, talk to God before you go and tell him what you expect. As you go, be determined to heal the sick. Be determined that whatever you place your hands to do will be accomplished through the shed blood of my son Jesus. Now, this is God speaking. And God told me early on in my ministry, he said, daughter, whatever you place your hands to do, I will accomplish it for you. So whenever you go out and minister to people, say, God, if I meet anybody sick, I'm going to lay my hands on them, and I expect you to recover them. Because it's not your hand, is it? It's God's anointing that does it. So that every time I do something, I say, all right, God, you told me that whatever I place my hand to do, you would accomplish it. So I'm doing this. That's what I do when I come to the services. God, you told me that to do this, and so I'm doing it. And so as I go along, you make sure you're there to help me with the thing. Always put God into it. Never go it alone. God said, I am the master builder, and all things are accomplished through me. God said, I am the master builder, and all things are accomplished through me. And Hebrews 3:4 says, every house is built by someone, but God built everything. And God said, the foundation has already been laid, and you must build upon that foundation. If you build on any other foundation, it will crumble and fall. But my foundation is a sure foundation, and everything built upon it will stand. And this is what Paul told the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 3:10. Paul said, according to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another builds on it, but let each one take heed how he builds on it. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. And let's just stop there. What Paul is saying is that God chose him to go forth and minister the gospel. And as he went into the churches or into the cities where the people were not saved, he laid a foundation, right? And he laid that foundation on Jesus Christ, nothing else. And this is what you have to do. And Paul said, I have laid the foundation, another builds on it. So, you know, you go forth and you lay the foundation. Somebody else will come forth and they'll build on top of that foundation. Somebody else will come forth and build on top of that. And next thing you know, we have a house full of saved people. Right? Now, it's not you. Always remember that. God's the master builder. He's already laid the foundation. Now we have to build upon that foundation, which is the word that we give the people. We give them the truth. How? Through the Holy Spirit. Now God, the master builder, has been God, the master builder, has been erecting, furnishing, and preparing us to be ready to reflect His image as we go forth in the harvest field of society. Isn't that what He's been doing? He's been erecting, furnishing, and preparing us to be ready to reflect His image. He's just not going to send you out there just willy-nilly. He already has you prepared to do this. God said, no more delays. The thrust is forward, and you have been given the tools to harvest. My word tells you that out of your innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. And John 7:38 says, if anyone believes in me, rivers of living water will flow out from their heart. That is what the scripture says. But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive. So when you go and you get somebody gives their heart to God, now you can tell them, well, John 7:38 tells me, now since you received Jesus, now you need the Holy Spirit. Then just pray for them to receive the Holy Spirit. Now see, what I would do is I would lay my hands on their belly. And I would say, Father God, your word says, out of our bellies will flow rivers of living water. And this is the way I do it. And I release that dam right now that's to let that rivers of living water to flow forth and fill this person with the Holy Spirit. Because if not, I'm hearing God saying you're leaving them half equipped. That you're not giving them tools to work with. This is what God just said. John 6:35, and Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. So Jesus said here, he's the bread of life. Now you have to believe in him. You have to believe in Jesus. And if you believe in him, then the Holy Spirit will be there, and you'll never thirst. All right? Now as you go forth, this is what God says. Now as you go forth, cause the living waters to flow out of the new converts, that they too will have the power to overcome all obstacle the enemy places before them. Then God said, you say, how do I do that? Then God said, lay hands on them and have them receive the Holy Spirit. I forgot he said all that, so I got ahead of myself. All right. How do I do that? Just lay hands on them. So when you lay hands on them, what's going on in your head? You're believing that they're receiving the Holy Spirit. All right, so when I was first saved, they would say, everybody wants the Holy Spirit, come up here. And we'd go up and line up. Say, they'd go by and say, ba, 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 boo, 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 and smack you in the head, knock you down. Now, you're filled with the Holy Spirit. And I thought, no, I'm filled with a headache. And I just heard a bunch of gibberish. See, I that's why I would never, ever, I didn't realize I was praying for people to have the Holy Spirit when I laid my hands on their stomach. But I just don't believe in that stuff. You know, and don't you do that either. You do it the Bible way, okay? All right, I'm going to read a prophetic word that is in the bulletin. And God gave this to me. But it says, come to the living waters this day and drink deeply, and you will never thirst again. I am calling all my children to come to the waters today and drink in the supernatural powers from on high that will carry them through this next leg of their journey with me in the heavenly host. No place will you find peace and rest like you will find at the wells of living waters. I have given my children this weapon of warfare, and as of this day, most have not used this weapon. So I am calling and I am expecting a great response from all those who know and love me. Then I think the same scriptures we read. Now, God gave me this before he gave me the word, or he gave me the teaching. But what God, whenever God said here, I have given my children this weapon of warfare, and as this day most have not used this weapon, that weapon of warfare is the Holy Spirit that is living waters within you. And I know for a fact that the reason why people haven't been using it is because they don't understand it. And if you don't understand something, you're not going to use it. You're going to walk away from it. So what God has been trying to do with you here this morning, he's been trying to explain the Holy Spirit to you, this well of living waters. That, all right, I ran across somebody in my walk with God that I thought they were saved and filled the Holy Spirit and everything else. And I was in a meeting up north somewhere in over New Jersey, and somebody walked up to this person and said, You've received Jesus, but you've never received the Holy Spirit, and that's why you can't get out of your sin. And they said to him, you need the Holy Spirit in order to accomplish what you're trying to accomplish. He was prophesying to him, to this person. And so he's talked to this person, but the person, I just don't quite understand what you're saying. So we left, and lo and behold, that person went out and bought some tapes on about the Holy Spirit and sent it to this person. And the person listened to these tapes, and they received then the Holy Spirit. But see, I didn't know. See, and I didn't realize that once you were saved, that you had to then get the Holy Spirit. I just thought it all came in one big package. You know what I'm saying? And I believe a lot of people believe that. But, that isn't according to the Scripture. And believe me, I really studied this a lot before I gave it. But according to the Scriptures, you receive Jesus, and then you have to receive the Holy Spirit. And so what God wants to do to you this morning is, those of you who aren't quite sure if you have that well of living water inside of you, he wants you to come forth, and he wants to fill you. He wants to release, not fill you, he wants to release that well of living water that is dammed up inside of you, so that whenever you go forth, you can go forth with great signs, wonders, and miracles. But you guys who already have that, and you're out, I don't care where you're at, in your marketplace, in your home, wherever, and somebody gets saved, make sure that you lay hands on their belly and call the Holy Spirit to come forth and fill them full of the Holy Spirit, so that they are fully and totally and completely equipped to go forth and do the mighty works that God is calling them forth to do. I think that this will answer a lot of your questions. I think it will answer a lot of, when you're talking to people, then you can answer their questions. And they're going to say, well, why can't I do signs, wonders, miracles? Why hasn't anything happened? Because the Holy Spirit is not activated, and that's what does the signs, wonders, and miracles. And you can study this yourself whenever you get home. It's really in depth. You really have to, really search it out. But if you don't have the Holy Spirit, or if you're not sure you don't have the Holy Spirit, if you have it or not, if you come up, we're going to pray with you, and we're going to release and activate the Holy Spirit. Now, if you say, well, I have the Holy Spirit, but you're not able to do anything in your life, you can't set free from sin, when you lay hands on the people, you don't know if they're really going to get healed or not, well, then if you come forth, God wants to activate that Holy Spirit where you can believe and receive. Now, what did God say? He's given us the Jesus, the Holy Spirit, the angelic host, and then he said, that along with your love and your faith, your powerhouse. So when you leave here today, I don't want you to leave here saying, I have no power. You have all power and all authority if you have those ingredients. And don't allow the enemy to make you believe that you don't.